Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of The Beautiful Party on Thursday, December 14th at 6 p.m. at The Know in Portland. The Beautiful Party is a video premiere hip-hop birthday event. There will also be performances, samples, and other surprises at this 21 and over event. Again, that's The Beautiful Party on Thursday, December 14th at 6 p.m. at The Know, 3728 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
It's 9:59. You're listening to KBOO Portland. Stay tuned for Air Cascadia coming up next.
It's Wednesday, December 13th, 2017, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio, your sanctuary radio, your resistance radio, your whistleblower radio, and of course, your fake news radio at 90.7 FM on the air, KBOO.FM, everywhere. Yesterday, we started talking about the case of our children's fund and internet neutrality. I thinking about it, concluded that maybe internet equity would have been a better choice of words. I think the word neutrality has either confused or put off a lot of people. It's extraordinary how many people have decided this is not an important issue to think about right now in the days of California burning, North Korea about to set fire to whatever is left of the country after we have destroyed ourselves through climate change. And we also have some political drama as well, notably, of course, Alabama, where that was a triumph to be savored for some time. And hopefully it will signal a change and tide. So that said, what I was what I was addressing yesterday, of course, is net neutrality and how little we know about it and how important it is, how it can change a lot of things. A lot of many of the political trials that we see going on right now, generating political prisoners, and contributing to the notion that protest should be made a crime and be categorized as an act of domestic terrorism. Lord knows we have plenty of domestic terrorism going on all the time in this country. A great deal of it, of course, is perpetrated by white male citizens. So we're talking about the trial, the case, the children who are suing the government, that is Donald Trump, for the damage it has already inflicted upon them and the damage that it is inevitably going to inflict on their future. So that said, we have another trial going on as well as a result of protest staged at Standing Rock. The Standing Rock trial is a little bit different. It involves members of First Nations, and therefore it's partially being tried in Western white style. But of course, the sentencing will be an all-American catastrophe, in my opinion. Law enforcement officers, this is how it started. It advanced in a U-shaped sweep line down North Dakota highways, a Highway 1806. That was the, of course, where so much went on last October. And in the end, what happened is two sheriff's deputies broke formation and tackled an Oglala Sioux woman whose name, Red Fawn Vallis, is, of course, very familiar to many activists and many of the people who did participate in those protests, which verge on battles with an armed force, a domestic military force operating on American soil? However you want to characterize these so-called officers of the peace, what they did was they attempted to handcuff her, and as they were doing so, three gunshots went off right alongside her. And according to the arrest affidavit, deputies lunged toward her left hand and wrestled a gun away from her. Oh, right! Oh, sure! Yeah, that sounds extremely likely. Well before that moment, Red Fawn had been caught in a sprawling intelligence operation that the goal of which, of course, was to disrupt and discredit opponents of the pipeline. So, in the end, in an interview with agents of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and Explosives, North Dakota Bureau of Criminal Investigations, there was a recording which was obtained. The Intercept was doing this work. And this was due to someone planted there for months before this incident occurred, and his job was to find out, to infiltrate and the movement, and learn names of various people, learn plans, and find out exactly how much they themselves knew. This chap was, his last name is Harmon, and his first name escapes me at the moment, but nonetheless, Harmon took part in a daily life of DAPL resistance camps, and he gained access to movement participants. He even became Red Fawn, was allegedly Red Fawn's romantic partner. Federal prosecutors are charging Red Fawn with civil disorder, possession of a firearm by a convicted felon, and discharge of a firearm in relation to a felony crime of violence. That's probably the most serious of the charges levied against any water protector. If convicted, Red Fawn is in deep trouble, and of course Harmon will just continue to go ahead and infiltrate other groups where and when the feds decide to deploy him. Why is this important? Because with the internet neutrality or internet equities, we really prefer to think of it. If we lose that, if we lose internet equity, or we lose internet neutrality, the effort to criminalize protests of any caliber is going to be more difficult to roll that back, because the media has already been manipulated and molded to the goals, to the intent of the Trump administration to a screaming great degree. When Donald Trump call something fake news, that term tends to stick. Well, we can satirize it all we want, but it's going to stick one way or another. So when mainstream media calls Red Fawn a terrorist, or defines these 21 children who are suing the government maybe less than credible and a bit silly. Those attitudes, those terms will stick, and as will many other. There are many other instances in which a two-track system for the internet is going to further drive factions apart, drive factions in the United States at a time when we cannot afford to lose any more of our sense of community than we already have lost. It will foster separateness, the armed camp state of mind that's being fostered for well before Donald Trump. Donald Trump being simply yet another symptom of the effort to drive Americans into their our individual armed camps with very little relationship to their neighbors, to people who might become friends, and people who might form solidarity groups. It is astonishingly fast how this has happened, and I imagine that it is the fulfillment of some of the best kept secrets and dreams of. We still are calling it the right. I suppose argument could be made for calling the fringe elements the alt-right. But really, I believe from my, what I can see is that this is a completely new thing America hasn't seen before. It is truly, truly a terrifying monster that we have created. We're still waiting for the grown-ups to come in and get rid of the monster. But internet neutrality, should it be abolished, we'll never get that back. A lot of these things that we desperately need that serve to hold together our society, our culture as we know it in America today, these things are not going to be coming back. Never mind the jobs that Trump is always howling about. What about the unions? That's not going to be coming back. That will be very difficult to recreate, because there was a degree of anger and violence, and the fire that fueled the labor movement is simply not here in society any longer. One reason is the armed camp mentality that has driven many Americans into their separate corners. And the idea internet neutrality, the internet being placed on sort of tracks that would be characterized by the amount of money driving them. This is only going to further separate us and contribute to the naming of anyone or any group that opposes the government, the Trump administration. Anyone who dares to stand in opposition to that is going to find themselves very soon in deep legal trouble. The courts have been, the purpose of the judicial system has been redefined, reinterpreted, and redirected instead of an asset working on behalf of citizens. It's an asset that is seeking to lock up and silence those who would challenge this fearful form of government that we seem to have created. This has been Air Cascadia for Wednesday, December 13th, 2017. Tammy Dean engineered for us today. Thanks, Tammy. Derek Crooks is our AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand before it's too late. Stay tuned.
This KABU program has been made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from Portland Saturday Market, open daily December 16th through the 24th for the Festival of